And beloved, now I'd like for you to share with me our scripture lesson. It's the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 1 through verse 11 from the New International Version. And the text says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Beloved, the title of my sermon today is, who is this Jesus? But before I get to the message, let me express my gratitude and appreciation for Dr. Gloria Quinlan and Ryan Howard for providing musical accompaniment and selections for us today. I also want to thank Deacon Oliver Street for his technical assistance with our PA system, and of course, the Reverend Torrance Spears, who has worked tirelessly to make sure we had these screens that were prepared and the video interplay. I want to thank him for all his hard work. And thanks to all of you, beloved, for tuning in and for sharing this worship time with us on this Palm Sunday. Who is this Jesus? Usually the reception of a visitor is impacted by one's perspective and one's expectations. Some folk are CNN folk. Some folk are Fox News folk. Most rarely cross the line. Their perspective determines how they receive information. Most don't want to see or hear from persons who don't share the same perspective. And in life, there are some highly anticipated visitors, and there are some visitors you hate to see coming. I mention that because Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is a visit that is standpoint dependent. It depends on your perspective. On the surface, Jesus' visit appears to be a well-supported event. But the city is in turmoil. Not all the people share the same perspective. And Jesus' entry into Jerusalem creates a mixed crowd so that not all the people are there to celebrate. Some come to see. Some come to find out the source of the commotion. I tell you, beloved, commotion can draw a crowd. And don't misinterpret the crowd. Don't always believe your press. The crowd might not be there for you. So Palm Sunday is not a celebration for everyone. Palm Sunday is only a celebration for those who truly understand Jesus' reason for entering the city of Jerusalem. I want to look at Jesus' reception in Jerusalem a little bit more closely. And as we look at it, I'd like to invert the story a little bit. I want to begin where Matthew ends. I want to begin with the question that is posed in the crowd. The folk gathered wrestle with Jesus' identity in verses 10 and 11. The text says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this Jesus? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I want to start right there because I think it's important that there were some people in this crowd who were wrestling with Jesus' identity. Who is this? The townsfolk want to know about this person who is causing such a stir. And the crowds answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It isn't clear which side gives the answer. It's a mixed crowd. The Jesus crowd coming to town, the townsfolk coming out to see, they've all mixed together. We don't know which crowd gives the answer. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. But Jesus is a prophet, they say. And because of the mixture of the crowd, one might wonder, is this a compliment or is it just an identifying label? The people in Jerusalem know about prophets. They have experience with prophets. Jesus is a prophet. Okay, he's a prophet, they're saying. So what does that mean? Will Jesus come and be a prophet in the tradition of Moses? Will Jesus be a prophet like Elijah or some other prophet? Okay, he's a prophet. What does that mean? There is expectation from the crowd when they ask, who is this? And are told Jesus is a prophet. There's expectation, but some of the expectation is really, well, let's see. He's a prophet who's come to town. Let's see. Even when you're identified properly, there's always a group of naysayers whose mission is to denigrate and downplay your visit and your status. The folk come to town and say, here's the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowd asks, who is he? Someone says he's a prophet, and the naysayers, well, let's see who he really is. The city is in turmoil. Jesus' arrival causes a stir because it upsets the power structure. Jesus, you see, comes without official standing, without credentials or sanction from the ruling authorities. Folk, I tell you, are looking for a way out of oppression. Folk are troubled. And we, beloved, we can identify with that. Folk are troubled, looking for a way out, and they're asking, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Because they want the turmoil and the oppression to end in Jerusalem. We can identify with this crowd because cities are troubled all over this country. And many persons in our country and around the world are looking for an end to this crisis. I was talking to a family this week, beloved, concerning the death of a loved one in our church family. What are they to do? Can they plan a funeral? And the family is praying about just having a graveside service and postponing the memorial service until later on, until a later unknown date. How difficult is that, beloved? How troubling is that? We can identify with these people in the crowd who say, who is this Jesus? Is he? And someone says he's a prophet. Well, what does that mean for us? Because we too want to know, who is this Jesus? You have that crowd asking the question, who is this? But then you also have in the middle of the story the perspective of Jesus' followers. For them, Jesus is the one who embodies Hosanna. The people say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save us. For Jesus, the followers, he is not just a prophet from Nazareth. Jesus represents God's answer to their cries of Hosanna. You see, Jesus has his crew traveling with him. They can vouch for him. They have heard him preach. They have witnessed his healings. They have witnessed his miracles. They have heard him speak about Jerusalem. They are Jesus' Amen Corner. And I tell you, it's good to have an Amen Corner. I wish I had an Amen Corner right now. Can I get a witness, somebody? An Amen Corner. So Jesus had this crowd of friends who gathered with him, and as they came into town, they were crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You usually have friends who think well of you, and it's a blessing to have good friends. Friends who get you, friends who understand your mission. Thank God for friends who will speak up in your behalf. Thank God for friends who will celebrate your elevation. When God blesses you, they are the most excited about your blessing. And sometimes your friends can be in the crowd and they're cheering you on, and they are oblivious to the haters that are around you. But Jesus had some friends in that crowd. He had some friends as he traveled into the city of Jerusalem. Beloved, my godmother is just like a mother to me. In fact, she is my mother. And I love her dearly. And one of the things that I love so much about her is that she makes me feel that I can do anything. She makes me feel supported. She makes me feel loved. And she makes me feel appreciated. She even makes me feel like I'm invincible. And if there's something that I'm thinking about, she'll say, "Well, man, just pray about it. You know the Lord will answer prayer." Or if she thinks I'm worried about something, she'll say, "Man, don't worry about that. You can handle it. You know how to take care of things. That's one thing about you. You know how to get things done." And she makes me feel so good and so supported, and I appreciate her for that. It's good to have people in your life like that. It's good to have people who love you, who've got your back, who can encourage you, who can push you forward, who can make you feel like you can achieve what you want to achieve. And that's what Jesus' followers do for him. When he goes into Jerusalem, he doesn't go by himself. He goes with his crew, and they are crying out, "Hosanna to the high, in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Beloved, during this crisis, Hosanna becomes a powerful cry, because we too are crying out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so you go from the end of the story with the question of Jesus' identity, who is this, to the middle where his disciples, his crowd, cheers him on and shouts Hosanna. To the beginning of the story, where Jesus sends his disciples into town, and Jesus points to his own identity. He tells his disciples, "If you're questioned by anyone, just say, 'The Lord needs them.'" That's who he is. He is the Lord. With the request for the donkey, Jesus effectively points the disciples to prophecy, and then connects prophecy to his identity. And so Matthew says to us, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Matthew connects Jesus' entry into Jerusalem with Israel's faith history. Matthew connects Jesus' identity to the divine promise of deliverance. Jesus doesn't come on a horse, a war animal. Jesus comes on a donkey, a draft animal. He comes as an humble king, and his entourage contains common street folk. His carpet becomes the tattered garments of the regular folk that have traveled with him. He comes not as a king draped in finery, but as an humble king committed to his mission. But I like the prophecy he references, and that's why I wanted to end with it. because the prophecy says, your king. That's Jesus' self-identification message. Jesus is your king who comes to deliver God's people from their sins. Isn't it interesting, beloved, that the folk in the crowd say all the right things? They say, Hosanna. They say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They say, he is the prophet from Nazareth. Yes, those are the right words for this crowd. But there is a difference between talking and confessing. Are the people merely mouthing words about Jesus, or is transformation occurring in the crowd? Because, beloved, we know that crowds will shift on you sometimes. One day they will cry out, Hosanna, and the next day they will cry out, crucify him. There is no significance to Jesus' entry unless he becomes your king. Unless when you cry out, Hosanna, you really look to Jesus to save you. Unless you call him the Lord of your life. And so the question is, who is this Jesus? That has to become a personal question. Who is Jesus to me? All right. What does the coming of Jesus mean in my life and in my heart? Beloved, it has to be personal. I have served in the church with two persons who have contracted the coronavirus. One was the drummer in the church I first served as a pastor in Joliet, Illinois. He just got out of the hospital, and both of his parents are in the hospital. The other is the niece of one of my fellow pastors in Illinois. She just died this past Wednesday from the coronavirus. And so when I hear about those who are hospitalized and those who have died, it is no longer just numbers for me on a television screen. It's personal. I know somebody who has the virus. I know somebody who has died from the virus. It's personal for me. And that's the same thing that I'm saying about this entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It has to be personal for you. It has to be a personal question that you pose. Who is this Jesus? And the question has to be, who is he to me? Who is he to me when he comes in the name of the Lord into the city of Jerusalem? Our forebears identified with Jesus. During this Lenten season, we're studying the spirituals. It's amazing how our forebears view Jesus. Listen to their words through the spirituals. They sang, don't be weary, traveler. Come along home to Jesus. Because they knew Jesus was a comforter. Yeah. They sang, the blind man stood on the road and cried, oh Lord, save me. Because they knew Jesus was a deliverer. They sang, steal away to Jesus, because they knew Jesus was a door to freedom. They sang, I want Jesus to walk with me, because they knew Jesus was a mighty good leader and a trustworthy God. They sang, fix me, Jesus, fix me, because they knew Jesus was a heart fixer. And they sang that powerful spiritual, Calvary, Calvary, surely he died on Calvary, because they knew Jesus to be a sacrifice for sin. And I want you to know today, beloved, who is this Jesus? He's more than a savior to me. He's all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. God bless you, beloved. If you don't know this Jesus, you can get to know him. This can be your Palm Sunday. This can be your day of celebration. Just ask this Jesus to come into your heart and into your life. And if you ask him to come in, He will come in and sup with you and welcome you into the family of God. God bless you, beloved. And now, each first Sunday, you know we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I want you to prepare now to get your bread, your juice, your wine, as we prepare to share the Lord's Supper together. And before we do that, let's sing a familiar hymn of the church, Near the Cross, as we prepare to receive the Lord's body and blood. Together, I take the bread and we share the cup together. And let me ask a blessing on the bread and on the cup. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let us pray. Eternal God, on this blessed Palm Sunday, this blessed Lord's Day, we come in the precious name of Jesus to offer ourselves and these elements to you for consecration and blessing. Bless the bread, bless the juice, which represent your body and your blood, and bless those who partake in their homes, in their cars, and wherever they may be, bless and consecrate them as well. And we thank you for this opportunity to share the Lord's Supper together. In the name of our Christ we pray, amen. Beloved, as we eat and drink together, let us remember the Lord Jesus. I remember him.